Brother Mullins and my own, is this the right spot? Good deal. All right, well, we don't want to burn the brisket this morning, so we're going to try and do our best to hurry. But I didn't get nervous with everything that happened this morning because it was divinely ordered by God, and it fits right in with what I want to preach about this morning. And you'll understand that as time goes on, but I want to exhort you to appreciate your pastor. This was good this morning. I like that. Some tangible expressions of love, that's great. But all this month, this is Pastor Appreciation Month, okay? Not just week. Yes. And so you make sure you not only gave them some nice gifts, but get around and talk to Brother and Sister Cable and let them know how much you appreciate their ministry and what they've done. Amen. Turn with me this morning to Matthew 25, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We want to look at this portion of Scripture this morning. And I want to ask you to pray for me. I am a pastor, first of all, called to fill an evangelist role, and that's part of being called to preach. But you pray and say, Lord, help Brother Dodd, give him what you'd have him to say, put your thumb in his back, and you just pray all week long, Lord, help Brother Dodd, and then pray, Lord, help me. If you say something to my heart, I want to walk in the light of what you've showed me. And I believe God's going to help us this week. Amen. Matthew 25, I wish you'd stand as we read a portion of Scripture. Begin reading with verse 14. Matthew 25 and 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And I'm going to stop reading there. I'm not going to finish the story or the parable, but I want to stop reading that point. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning as we look into your word, as we look into what you have to say to us, that you would open this truth to our hearts. Help us, Lord. Bless, we pray, each and every heart. Help us to walk in the light of the glorious gospel. We pray and ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. June 26, 1992, I stood in a Milan sanctuary, Milan, Illinois, a church that was there. As far as I know, none of you were there except for one. That was my wife, Anna, who's here this morning. I stood in front of that crowd that was there, and all the attention in that room was focused on me at one point. There was a couple hundred people that were there, and but I can't tell you who all was there. I could look around, and in my mind's eye, I can remember a few of those. I know my parents were there, and I know that my wife's mom was there, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and I can tell you a few people were there. But out of that crowd of 200, 250 people, I cannot tell you who all was there. I sang a song that evening, on that Friday evening, I sang a song, and it began, today, let me tell you I love you, because today it means so much more, and I sang that song, but I wasn't singing that song to the 200 or so people that had gathered there that evening. I was singing that song for one individual. I was standing just like this, and standing right there was that person, and we were joined hands, and I was singing to my bride-to-be. It was my wedding night, and I was to be married, and I was singing I Love You to my wife, and then we sang a song together, and together in Him we can climb every mountain, and she was the entire focus of the evening for me. Amen. There was some of my kinfolk. My Aunt LaDonna came and Chris came, and I was glad they were there. But I wasn't as concerned about the people that were in the audience. And all the there was others. I couldn't even tell you really a lot about what happened that night. But I can tell you one thing. There was one person that was there, and she had my entire attention. Amen. I'm sure there was other beautiful young girls there. She had some of her bridesmaids lined up behind her. And I couldn't even tell you this morning who all they were. But I'm telling you, the most beautiful one in the room was Anna. She was standing. She had my attention that night. She was the bride-to-be. Well, let me tell you this morning that there is one who must captivate our attention. And that is Jesus Christ. And we are to play to an audience of one. Paul wrote to the church at Romans and he said, "Salute Apelles, who's approved in Christ." He is approved in Christ. James Wilson said, "We live our lives before an audience of one. It's what he thinks that counts the most." Oz Guinness said, "I live before an audience of one. Before others, I have nothing to prove, nothing to gain, and nothing to lose." We have an audience of one that we must please this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found. God translated him. Before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God." That was the most important thing in Enoch's life. Oh, I'm sure that he wanted to do his best to live as a good citizen in the community where he lived. And I believe he wanted to do his best with his family to be someone that they looked up to. But ultimately, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That was the most important thing in Enoch's life, was that he pleased the one who was looking on. Well, let me ask you this morning, where are you seeking approval? Where are you seeking approval? A lot of people want to seek the approval of their own self, and that's a dangerous thing. Proverbs says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes." He said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, yet are not washed from their filthiness. Those are all found in the book of Proverbs. And he said, there's something about a man that when he looks at his own life, he says, "I'm doing pretty good." Amen. Brother Cable mentioned that I sat up there with the orchestra. He said, "I was watching the orchestra." He was wrong. Brother Cable was wrong. My dad played the saxophone and played it very well. My brother, Jeffrey, plays the saxophone and plays it very well. My brother, Mark, plays the saxophone and plays it very well. But guess what Brother Chucky Dodd chose? Anybody want to guess besides my wife and my son? Thank you very much. Trumpet. Guess why? One reason, that gentleman sitting right over here, your pastor. I didn't watch the saxophones. I didn't care about all those keys. I didn't care about the baritone that was over there and the trombone. That didn't even interest me. I had eyes for one instrument. That was this instrument right here, probably this very one, Brother Cable. Same one. I used to watch as he pressed those three buttons, and it went louder, and it went brighter, and it went out among that congregation, and he would play "Glorious Freedom" and "Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One." And I watched as Brother Cable played that, and I watched as he lifted his head up and played it. He didn't play it pointed at the ground. And I said, "When I get older, I want to play the trumpet just like Dennis Cable." Promise. That's exactly what I said. He had an audience of one. If no one else was paying attention, I was paying attention to Brother Cable. And so I took some lessons. They had a little band at school, and I would play, and I thought I was doing pretty good. Till I got to camp not too many years ago and sat beside Brother Cable, and I thought, whew, it just wasn't, I wasn't all I thought I was cracked up to be. I thought I was doing pretty good, and I thought I could play pretty good, but I got in the presence of a master, and I thought, oh dear. You can look at your own life. examine your own spirituality and say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I love God and I'm serving God pretty good. And I feel like I'm doing pretty good spiritually, but that's not the standard that God's going to hold you to. 2 Corinthians 10:12, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. They hold themselves to their own standard. But he said in Proverbs that the ways of a man are right in his own eyes, but God ponders the heart. You may think that you're doing pretty good, that you're doing pretty well spiritually, that, oh, I'm measuring up to my own personal standard. But that's not the standard that God wants to hold you to. He's holding you to His standard. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. 2 Corinthians 10:18. It's not your approval that you must seek, but it's God's approval. Another thing that people do is seek approval in peer popularity. They want to please everyone else. I grew up as a people pleaser. I wanted to be the center of attention. I wanted to make everybody laugh. That was what I wanted to do. I enjoyed that. When we went to camp meeting, Brother Cable, I was there, and I would try and get as many people as was out there and try and get them all to laughing and tell them good stories. And even if I had to stretch it a little bit or exaggerate. And I remember thinking to myself, now why did you just say that? Because you know you stretched the truth. But I wanted the approval of my friends. I wanted them to laugh at my stories and think that I was something good or special. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I please men, I would not be the servant of God. Who are you trying to please? Your peers? Your friends? Those people that surround you? The people that you work with? Amen. I've worked with cities in water departments most of my adult life. That's been my bivocational career, is to work in water departments. And it was good to go to work and to get the approval of the men I worked with, to work hard and for them to say, good job. And Mr. Jimmy Miller was my boss. And I like to hear Jimmy say, great job, Chuck. You did a good job laying that water line, or you did a good job. And now I have a board that's over me, and it's good to have the board say, good job. I like that. But is that who I'm ultimately seeking approval from? My boss, my friends, those people that I'm around. Young people, you better not seek approval of your friends ultimately. Now, we do want to live our lives and that we have friends. But ultimately, you have to seek the approval of God Almighty. The Bible says the Pharisees loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were seeking approval among themselves. They wanted to be thought as the most spiritual, the most holy, the most godly. And so they would do outlandish things because they loved the praise of men more than the approval of God. There's not anything in this world that's more important to you than His approval. My dad used to sing a song, "The world is full of those who seek fame and fortune. We're often told the things of earth, they matter most. But a day awaits us all when God the Father shall set the values straight at last forevermore. He'll not ask who we are. He'll not care where we've been. He'll not see all the goods of earth we own. He'll not turn at whom you knew. Nor will He feel your fame that grew. He'll only ask, did you find and do His will, playing for an audience of one." We see the story that Jesus told in the New Testament. He said that a man had a supper, bid them to come to the feast. They all with one consent began to make excuse. One said, I bought a piece of ground. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Another said, I've married a wife. What was it? They were setting priorities in their life. They said, this is more important to me than the approval of the one who called me to the feast. My possessions, my job, 5 yoke of oxen, my married life. Those things are more important to me. And it's sad when you see people in this day and age that put more priority on other things than they do pleasing God. Folks, we have got to seek His approval, His divine approval. Well, who has to seek His approval? I'll start with the pastor. This is pastor appreciation. Brother Cable, do you mind if I hold this up? Oh, I'm not going to drop. Okay. Brother Cable worked all year for this. This is what he worked for right here. This is what he worked for. This is why Brother Cable preached right here. Sister McCaslin, no? What about what was in there? Is that why he preached? Brother Cable, did you preach for those $100 bills that were in there? No. That's not why he preached. Did you preach so that Brother Carpenter would come shake your hand and say, good message, Brother Cable? Now that's important. And I just challenge y'all to tell Brother Cable how much you appreciate him, because this is pastor appreciation. I hope every one of you go by after service, shake Brother and Sister Cable's hand, say, appreciate you. But Brother Cable, is that why you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Paul wrote Timothy and he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The approval of one. That's what Brother Cable is seeking. He wants his wife to come home and say, Dennis, and I'm using that as her saying that, not me, but you did a good job, and I appreciated your message, and I'm so proud of you. Oh, that's wonderful for him to have the approval of his wife. And it's wonderful to have your approval, and you've showed that this morning. That's why I said this was divinely ordered. But he must show himself approved unto God. We're playing for an audience of one. There's one thing that's important, and that's to please him. If Sister Cable comes home and says, you blew it tonight. You blew it. You got so in the brush. What happened? Where did that sermon come from? And Brother Carpenter comes to him after service and said, brother, that was doctrinally incorrect. You messed up over there, and you took that verse out of context, and that was terrible. But if he has the approval of God and God says, you gave it your best, Brother Cable, the pastor has to have the approval of God. Children, now, we saw y'all come up here. How many of y'all got something this morning? Wait, raise your hand high. Hi, higher. Who all got a prize this morning? Come on. All right. Good job, guys. Good job. You got your Sunday school teacher's approval. Sister McCaslin, Sister Mullen, Sister Cape. Good job. You brought your Bibles. You studied your scriptures. You memorized. Good job. And I'm going to tell you, good job. Great job, guys. Y'all sang up here. Great job. But those Bibles and those CDs and DVDs, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to please him. Colossians 3:20, you know what it says? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Kids, the reason you obey your mom and dad is because it pleases God. The reason you study your schoolwork is to get good grades, yes, but to please God. You want to please him. You want to make him happy. That's the reason you do it. Christians, beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the church. Holy and acceptable unto the pastor. Holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. That's the very most important thing in your life, is to live your life pleasing to the one who called you. Well, how do you seek it? Well, first of all, by obedience. Book of Acts, the apostles were called in and they told them to hush. No more preaching. Shut it down. Close it off. He said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And they threatened him. They let him go, finding nothing whereby they might punish him because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And Peter and the other apostles told them, after they caught them preaching again, we've got to obey God rather than man. They were thrown in jail. They were beaten. They were martyred. But they were pleasing an audience of one. They said, it doesn't matter what
Caesar says. It doesn't matter what the Roman guard says. It doesn't matter that we're going to get thrown into prison. We're pleasing one. We're playing to an audience of one.
Romans chapter 14, the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. For in these things he that serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Pleasing Him. Pleasing Him. Seeking His approval. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. We must seek His approval. Why do we have to seek His approval? Well, if you look over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he was seeking for a man, remember how God had sent Samuel? And they were looking through, and the sons of Jesse came through, and he got to down, and David was still out in the field, and he said, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." You may seek to please Brother Dodd and say, "I want Brother Dodd to look at my life and say, good job, well done." You may seek to please your Sunday school teacher or your pastor or your spouse or the men that you work with or whoever it is, but he said, man just can see the outward appearance. Man can see what, but God looks down on the inside, and that's who I'm seeking to please. He's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Another translation of that says, this is the God to whom we must explain all that we've done. He's the one that we've got to please. You're not going to stand before your pastor in the judgment. You're not going to stand before the evangelist at the judgment bar of God. You're not going to stand before those people. No, you're going to stand before Almighty God and say, Lord, it's me and you, and have I pleased you? We've got to seek His approval. The Bible says every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Knowing that of the Lord you'll receive the reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The scripture that we read this morning tells of these men, and God gave them talents, which was a great sum of money. He gave 1 5, 1 2, 1 1, hands them out. He goes on a journey, comes back, and there were two of them that had gone out and used what God gave them for God's glory. I love what he said. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What was it? God had put His stamp of approval on what they had done. He said, well done. Great job. You've won my approval. You've satisfied me. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. What's your purpose for existence this morning? Is to please one? To please one? To satisfy one? To say, Lord, I'm living my life so that you'll look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Back in the 1930s, during the time of the Great Depression, everything was headed downhill. People were losing their jobs, and a young man was employed as a clerk while attending Bible college. He had a good voice, deep voice, and so... He was a clerk, but somebody came along and one day at work heard him sing and told him, they said, you know what, if you go down to the radio station, they might allow you to sing. And so he went to the radio station and began to sing, and they offered him a contract to appear on a secular program. He said, can I sing gospel songs? I'm going to Bible college. They said, you know what, every once in a while you can, but for the most part, we want you to sing the songs that are on Hit Parade. That was the popular songs of the day, and so he went home and he began to think about it, and he was thinking, you know, I know I'm wanting to serve God, but people were losing their jobs right and left, and the depression was on. And he thought, here I have a contract that's going to last. All I have to do is go sing a few times a week. And he began to ponder that. He went home, and as he was praying about it, they said one Sunday morning he was going to sing the special in church. And so he sat down at the piano in the family home, and his mother, a godly woman, had taken a little poem and set it down on the piano and put it there. And as he was rehearsing a song, he began to scan the lines of the poem. He began to look at that, and he began to pray and began to weep, and God talked to his heart, and he turned down the contract to sing. And here's what the words of the poem: I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Him than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. For He's fairer than the lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Greg Ferguson sings a song, and it goes something like this: I'll be content to serve as an audience of one. Only His approval counts when all is said and done. And this is my prayer when my race is finally run. I want to hear, "Well done," from the audience of one. Whose approval are you seeking? Are you seeking approval of those people around? Are you seeking the approval that comes along the paycheck? Or are you seeking God's approval? Ultimately, that's the only thing that's going to matter, is for Him to say, "Well done." Amen. Let's stand this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we begin this revival, I pray that You'd help each one of us to examine our priorities, look over our lives. Are we pleasing the one with which we have to do? Lord, You're the one that we must please. To hear Your "well done" is more important than anything else in this world. I pray that You'd help each one that's here this morning. Help us to look our lives over. Help us to examine, to see if there's anything in our lives that's not pleasing to You. As we begin this revival, pray that You'd help us, when it's all said and done, that we can say we've pleased the audience of one. We ask this in Your name. Amen.